This is tape recording number 7101C24SO, FEBC number 10. A tape recorded lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 24th of January, 1971. The title of this lecture is The HAS and the Coins of the Org. It is 54 minutes and 27 seconds long. Copyright C, 1971-1974 by L. Ron Hubbard. All world performance rights reserved.
An organization which would leave... An organization has so many registrar minutes to invest, and the registrar minutes it has to invest determines the number of sign-ups which an organization has. Interviews with the registrar, 284. Is somebody kidding? For one registrar? No. Figure it out for yourself. There's 284 interviews during the week. Then how many registrar minutes could there have been spent with each prospect? And you find out that it couldn't have been at all. They must have dusted off a chair in the waiting room or something. Do you get how you figure out the coins? This is the internal economy of an organization, and these are the real factors of economy. Now, it's the HAS that makes them available to be spent. He's in charge of the personnel. He's in charge of the lines. And he's in charge of the spaces. So he also must be in charge of the potential coins that the organization has to spend. Not dollars, they're worthless. He's in charge of how many auditing hours the HGC can furnish, how many instructor minutes can be furnished, how many how many typist minutes, which contributes directly to typist letters. You don't sit around all the time wondering about this letter stat. Get real. It's typist minutes. How long does it take a typist to type a letter? And you will immediately see exactly that you have a ceiling. Now, the letter registrar that is dictating the letters is that many registrar minutes, but that required a certain number of folder actions. And you can immediately determine how many letters out the organization can achieve. Now, this is economy. I'm not talking about this corny Hungarian stunt where they go around and tell Wilson, well, all you got to do is borrow $100 million from the next international bank. That's not economy. That's crap. We're talking about real things. We're talking about typist minutes. You sit down. It's an elementary exercise in arithmetic. What's your letters out? Well, if you're going to have to do letters out, if somebody wants the letters out stat up, there's going to have to be another typist. And then to keep her busy, well, there probably have to be two more typists to keep a letter registrar busy. So you're going to have to hire an entirely new team of two typists and a letter registrar. And then that's going to keep central files in a worse turmoil and so on. So we're probably going to have to put somebody on central files as a liaison. You want more letters out, I have to have four people. Central files clerk, additional central files clerk, additional letter registrar, and two additional typists to keep up with this one letter registrar. Now you got production. Now you got letters out. Now to the degree that the HAS sees that their hats get put on, the quality of that production will get very good. They can bang out any old kind of letter. We've received one of the funniest letters here. Once in a while, a staff member or somebody, an aide or something's name will appear, of course, on some old organizational CF or address file. And they will get a letter from this organization, Kokomo or someplace. And they quite often are quite good. Don't worry about that. But we received one day that was hilarious. The letter said, "Dear Blank, you are invited," signed. Marvelous letter. Oh. their quality could be improved. But with that short a letter, I imagine their volume was pretty good. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the HAS can go at a slipshod basis and just hope that it all happens in some fashion and sit there with a total cacophony and mess going around in his vicinity and the lines just all going so on. Listen, if it's interpolated in an HCO, then the HCO does not have control of the lines of the organization, obviously. So where should be the first point of calm in an organization? The calmest, most orderly place in the organization should be HCO. If HCO is roof woof and wow wow and and then the line is on and there's mobs of people busting in and so on and et cetera, I wouldn't give you much for the rest of the lines in the organization. They couldn't possibly be under control. Now here's one for you. Here's a product org officer datum. The product officer and the org officer separate right at the point of line. When the org officer zone is entered, it's at the point of line. The product officer who finds himself handling line is already into the province of the org officer. Because the org officer, an essential part of organization, is the lines. The simple thing, like the dispatch that gets from here to there, and so on. Now, a product officer of any sort whatsoever is running without lines. He doesn't have any lines. He didn't have any lines at all. He's going around his basic observational actions, mainly. But we get into a thing where a line, and I'll differentiate this exactly, it's where a line has to be formed in the organization, where a line has to be formed at that point, and at that exact point, an organizational line has to be handled or put in. You have now entered the province of the org officer. You could, out of self-defense, as a product officer, get somebody to do something that had to be done at that moment to go through. But the second that you have to transfer this person or do something like that and so on, you're into the province of the org officer. You often find yourself in that province in production. Now, the basic lines of the organization are in the control of the HAS, and those lines all have to be neat and so on. So, it is nothing for a product officer to find something out with the lines. This is the main thing he finds out. So therefore, an org officer ought to do dummy runs. And there's two types of dummy runs. They're just plain dummy runs. You just go through the organization's public lines one way or the other, try to get hired or something like this. Or try to take advantage of this new free offer. And go into the proper point and so forth and just try to get it. You sometimes find yourself in practically a fist fight. Well, what you find out is passed to the HAS. That's passed to the HAS as a direct signal that his lines have to be established at this point. The other type of dummy run is a bull bait. And you take a whole bunch of questions, which the public would be prone to ask. And you'd be surprised how funny some of the questions are. And you just dream up these questions. Well, I have a check here on the Farmers Bank of Des Moines. And it is for $2,000, and I owe you $260. So if you could give me the change, why, then I would be happy to buy the so forth, and see what your cashier does. See what he says. See if he handles it at all. You find out the bulk of the cashiers just sort of say, get out. Get out. That's not the proper public response. And therefore, your bull bait dummy runs pay off, because the bull bait dummy run tests the personnel. Just the plain dummy run just tests the line. Does the line exist? Even if you say things to the personnel, does the line exist? But it takes a bull bait dummy run to test the personnel. So the organizing officer, in his spare time, could very easily throw in plain dummy runs and bull bait dummy runs and so forth, and he'll furnish a lot of material for the HAS. So if the HAS were on the ball, he'd run his own dummy runs, wouldn't he? It's actually an INR function to do a dummy run. Form one, dummy runs, that sort of thing. So, is there an establishment there, is all the organization or the organizing officer's trying to find out. Is there an establishment there? Now, the HAS, of course, is being fixed firmly with the responsibility for putting the establishment there. And you're going to get all kinds of vagaries, and he's going to get all kinds of trouble, he's going to get all kinds of arguments, and he's also going to get all kinds of wins. because one of the arguments he's going to get immediately is we can't afford it. As a matter of fact, in Washington at one time, there was only one thing that was ever came out of any finance lines and so forth. We don't have any money. And they had found this as the pattern answer to anything that was brought up by anybody, and they found this always worked. And this was how, not to give any service, I forget who was handling money there at that time, but it was just that. And I kept hearing this coming back on the lines. We don't have any money. It was an arrant lie. I think at that particular time for Washington, we had a fabulous reserve, and we were running along great. The staff was well paid and everything of the sort, and we don't have any money. Well, it was no R because it was a lie. But this was how it could never do anything. So that is the wrong answer. We don't have any money. But he will run into this. He will run into inferences like this. So he should always prove his point. And the way he proves his point to show the coins he has. These are the coins which we have. And the coins are the volume, potential volume of production per department for the final product of the department. Not necessarily the final valuable product of the org. But these are the coins which I am furnishing. And we should be getting so-and-so. And if we're not, then there's something wrong someplace else, not where I am. Somebody is neglecting to bring about a demand for consumption. The created want isn't there. If I can furnish 150 coins called auditing hours per week in the HGC, and I'm not being asked to furnish any more, then there is something wrong. Therefore, sales and delivery must be very out. Now, it isn't up to him to manage the thing. It's up to him to have things. It's up to the production officer to say what can be produced and to bring about a consumption of the product. So, by the way, that's why you will eventually have to have a PR man as a staff member of the, see, it's a PR advertising type liaison as part of the production officer, just neglecting to mention. It's part of that person's duties to bring about actions which increase consumption. He'd create want and so on. So a production man couldn't actually operate too long without PR assistance, whether he was doing it himself, as I used to do, or whether it was being done for him. That's why he has a PR man. The rest of it is he's handling human emotion and reaction inside the organization, but remember he has a public outside, and that public outside is actually of a senior importance to the public opinion inside, and he's got to test that, and he would know what tone scale to launch his campaigns and his ads at, and he could collect old successful campaigns that were successful and where the people came from that bought services some earlier time, and all of this sort of thing can be done. So therefore, it puts a production man in charge of consumption to know this. But nevertheless, it's the HAS's responsibility to furnish the coins which will meet that consumption. For instance, he could actually go down department after department and demonstrate how many hours of production, how many production coins, that is to say, how many auditing hours, how many instructor hours, how many this and that, how many student hours, pardon me, instructor minutes, student hours, how many bulk mail mailings, how many letters out, how many this and so forth. He could cast up the immediate stat of the organization. Now, an organization that just runs accidentally on stats is not being run. That organization is running the person. It's running the HAS. And, of course, his area will be very confused. He should and could carry a shadow line on a graph, which would tell him immediately who to hat. He knows what the well-done auditing hours of the organization should be, because he has that many auditor hours to expend. So, the very well-done auditing hours and so forth, or well-done auditing hours, ought to be the number he is furnishing. Very simple. He's put the coin there to be spent. Has it been spent? All right. So the well-done auditing hours are 25, and he has potentially got himself 150 well-done auditing hours. It shows up on the stat, once the stat of the organization, so he knows it's sour. So he knows he hasn't got an establishment, doesn't he? He's got a flub. So who does he hat? Where does he find? Of course, it's quite obvious what he'd find in that particular case. He'd find a registrar, and he would then find a tech sec. He would also look at how many were done and how many were well done, and he finds out that 80 were done, 150 could have been done, 80 were done, and 25 were very well done, and out of those figures he knows who to hat, who to demote, who to promote, and what per type of personnel he's got to have at once. So he is in control of the establishment, isn't he? So for every department he could have a stat, and that stat would tell him exactly how many letters could be gotten out, how many this could be done, how many that could be done, how many students could be handled. He could map the whole establishment's stat ceiling, and that we could call a stat ceiling. That stat ceiling per department would give you exactly what the potential of the establishment was. If it was not running close to that potential, then it was running inefficiently, and there was something wrong with the production officer or the org officer. Now, let's say 9/10 of these stats run great and the other stat doesn't. Well, this would be a matter of a conference on that point, wouldn't it? So, by stat ceiling, you could measure your establishment. And if you haven't measured your establishment by stat ceiling as an HAS, then you couldn't possibly have any idea of who was doing what with this car. Now, it's one thing to put a bus there, and it's another thing to get it driven. And surprise, surprise, he can still hire bus drivers. Now, the actual potential and capability of a production officer would be how many of those coins are spent. There's the stat ceiling. How close is the stat to the stat ceiling? And that is the effectiveness of the divisional production officer, the divisional secretary, or the production officer of the ARC. What's the stat ceiling? People could get right puzzled with me when I keep crashing into tech services and saying, hey, get this point on, and then not beef it up, or something like this. See, something wrong here, something's wrong, looking around. Well, that's because it hasn't approached the same number of hours as are available. You look down, you find out we have 5 fully qualified auditors on full-time training. 5 fully qualified auditors on full-time. We find that we will be needing a whole bunch of HDCs who are OT3. But I find all the HDCs being trained as Class 6s and are not spending their time on advanced courses. You get the idea. So these are the criteria by which you operate. Now, if you've got a stat ceiling, and you've got your stats, no matter how big or how small the organization is, what have you got? You got the effectiveness of the HAS, the effectiveness of the product officer, and the effectiveness of the org officer. The effectiveness of the HAS is in question only to the degree that he's hatted people. What's his hatting and training? What was his recruiting? That's how that brings his in question. The utilization of that time, that brings in the product officers. How many products are turning off of this line? There's things like completions. Completion gets into the airy-fairy land. Now, the product officer who can turn out more completions per unit of auditing time without going quickie, he's a good product officer. How many of these courses can we finish up? Right now, I could do a horrible thing as a product officer, particularly here. There's a lot of people who have come to the ship and so on who have an awful lot of incomplete cycles in terms of courses. All you'd have to do is survey how many courses they had, and then survey how close they were to the end of which course were the closest to the end of, which grade, or which this, or which that, or which other thing. In other words, you do a full survey. So you had all the courses, all the grades, everything else. Do this, sit down as a production officer, shoot a completion stat by simply making everybody finish up that one that was closest to the end on the courses. Get all of these, all finished up. You would have actually an instructor minute situation, which was minimal, and you would have this fantastic completion stat. Now, a very dirty trick would be to move off then and put another product officer on the job and say, you see. And then for years later say, well, when I was product officer, that worked. Actually, you would have done well, because those people should have completed those things. But you can always find some products lying around. The only point I'm making. Now, therefore, there's a difference between the product officer and the HAS. The HAS has got simply the facility there to produce the product. He just got the facility to produce the product. By his hatting, he can handle the control, that is, he can control the quality of it to some slight degree, to a considerable degree, actually. But actually, it's the product officer who can play ducks and drakes with this lineup, and he can either make it look awful or he can make it look terrific. And it would be the product officer who, to a marked degree, monitored the size of the establishment. You got that? If he's going to have much of an establishment, he's going to have to do an awful lot of PR, advertising, survey-type actions. He's going to have to really know, boy. And he'd have to have his... have to have that special programs unit over there just pocket it on special project pilots. Let's see if we can't. Why don't you approach some old ladies? I understand that there is a hotel outside the city which has a lot of resident. Let's put an auditor in there. Sounds mad, the same. Doesn't matter. Out of all of this, all of a sudden one pays off. The total cost of running all these special programs is peanuts, and the income of one of them is $500,000. Do you see? Well, that takes care of all the rest of them. It's the product officer doesn't keep shooting the whole organization into. And every time I release a piece of tech, organizations unfortunately try to shoot the whole of their production line into this new action. I could shoot them. I could just shoot them in cold blood. They keep doing it. Why do they do it? I don't know. I think it's a peculiarity which also shows itself in some FEBC student, applicant, sometime or another, will move aboard the ship, and he will say, this is a fascinating bulletin, even though it is several years old. He wouldn't say it if he knew what hilarity it produces. The rebuttal to the thing is the law of gravity has gone out because it was discovered in 1649. You get the point I'm making? Now, even with all this product system and so forth, we haven't antiquated the org board. What org board did we fall back to? We fall back to the best production org board we had, which was 67. You won't find there's very much violated along the line. We're putting the cream on top of this cake now. All right, I'm not trying to make fun of FEBCs. Don't look so contrite. But it is a nuttiness, and I'm just talking about it because it is a nuttiness. Yesterday's process we can't use anymore. Because we've got this process. I'm sitting here right now playing a mean trick just because of this. A mean, vicious, smiling trick. Actually, I'm not. The truth of the matter is we're handling such dynamite in this a new rundown which we have that it actually couldn't go into orgs that would flub any. We had somebody over list the other day and knocked a case. Just a little tiny flub like that. Poof. Straighten it all out, yeah, but... No, I'm not necessarily, although it will look so, determined that they will use what they have at this time. The real reason is because it's got to be a very, very groovy org indeed before they can handle this, otherwise it'd just blow them right off the face of the earth. So if you look into this with care, you will find out that the product officer will make all of his cash out of yesterday's development. And there's where he gets his overages. I told you the trick of making somebody finish up the course. He could really shoot the moon. He sends somebody out in his PR line, or the person who is serving PR in the org, so forth. Will you please go around and survey how many courses people have started that they have blah, blah. Now we're going to get all those cats back in. I'm going to finish off their courses. Yeah, but you can't get any money for that. Oh, yes, you can. You got your nerve making anybody give it a course. I'll show you a product officer goof. There was no product officer there. But this is a goof to end all goofs. The 8 course got longer and longer and longer and longer. And finally, I think a person has to be an 8. The more newly graduated 8s are all 90 years old. Well, do you know what's contained in that package? This is wasting the facilities of an organization. So the HAS puts them there. Now, they can be wasted by the product officer, or they can be made capital out of by the product officer. So I'm just showing the relationship between the two. The HAS, he's got the coins there to spend. How do they get spent? Let me show you this goof. There was an 8 course. It took us 3 weeks to teach the 8 course. We taught it with ferocity. We shouldn't have. Probably made engrams all over the course. I know it's been successful ever since. I was thrown overboard 5 times on the Royal Scotland. You hear it now, it's actually the badge of the 8. In a huge survey, it was only mentioned twice through 8s and so forth. And one of them, it distracted him so he couldn't pay any attention to the course. But all due respect to that. You'll have to cut all that out because it's very bad PR ever to bring up a flap, you know. The main strength and awkwardness of this is we had a course. Why didn't people go on teaching the course? Oh, no. They added every bulletin that came out afterwards to the 8. Every bulletin. Every bulletin. Yeah, the 8 course check sheet got bigger and bigger and fatter and fatter. Still selling it for the same amount of money. Now, what would a production officer's reaction to this be? Student hours? Instructor minutes? He was throwing them away. Throwing away student hours and instructor minutes. He was also throwing away cash. Now let's add to it this one. Everybody who comes from an SHSBC taught in this has to be retrained. So we retrain them before we teach the 8 course. And then the 8 course, of course, includes all the bulletins which have been issued in the life from 68 till 70. Jesus Christ. Viability goes out the window at this point. Why? The price of the 8 course is now covering, in terms of instructor minutes, it's now covering an SHSBC, an 8 course, and all the stuff since. And do you know what the course lineup really is? It should be an SHSBC retread for which that SH should be charged. Full price by the Gidding Org. Auditor comes in, class 6, can't audit, that's it. Retread. We'll run a retread course. We'll teach you how to audit. That's it. The bill immediately for an SHSBC goes to that SH. Boy, I'll tell you, in very short order, they will cease to give flubby SHSBC courses. Right? All right, the 8 course is 3 weeks long. Guy comes in, goes home. He's an 8. Now, it is something to be an 8. If you don't believe it, try to work with a 6 on 8 technology who isn't an 8. Or try to work with a person of upper technology above 8 who doesn't know the 8 technology. Nah. Horrible. So, the guy really never even had a chance to become an 8. Because he was so interested in coming out. Actually, there's an auditor band which starts just before the exteriorization rundown and runs up to about the middle of 1970, which is a 9. And believe me, there's plenty there. There's plenty there. There's plenty to know about that stuff. And starting then, for sure, we have had to specially train stellar 8s and guys who were 9, had to specially train these guys to make them 10s. So it isn't anybody trying to merchandise something. You want to know why somebody can't do or give a class for an exteriorization rundown? Oh, wow. They just make a mess out of it. Exteriorization rundown should be done only by 9s. There's a bulletin out which brings this about, but I haven't seen the courses emerge yet. Every moment those courses are not publicized, every moment that those courses are not in at any AO, any moment, every second that they're not in is costing the real coins of the organization, which is student hours. Do you know that other organizations sending in somebody to an organization cannot afford to send that person months and months and months? Can't. For to send them for 3 weeks. The fee is not the totality of it. It's the loss of his services to the organization. That's the real thing that it's lost. And the fee for the course is not it, even in terms of money. It's keeping the guy there during that long period of time that's expensive. So your viability goes out the roof. The second that a production officer takes his finger off his number and says, we are not selling something at its proper price. the price in his terms being, what is the coin the organization is paying? Then all of a sudden, what happens? Then the little organizations can't send anybody to the course to take an aid course because he won't come home until he's 99, do you see? So that's bad production thinking. All right, it's being changed right this minute, but I'm giving you various instances. You can make a fortune right now. Guy blows from a Dianetics course. I turned out a little project, didn't even think about it very long, but it would have been a winner, that organization which did it. I don't know if I have any reports on it. It's just to the effect of who blew, who didn't. No, this one is different. Anybody who's had any Dianetic auditing, should come in and take a Dianetics course. Now, that might or might not work because you would get fail cases and so forth, but you could fill this in with this kind of promotion. The promotion that could be thrown into the lineup very easily is very often people do not make good gains, or they go all the gains possible on a Dianetics intensive unless they've had a Dianetics course, and then you quote several success stories to that effect. Now, that'd be the production gimmick kind of thing. So, all right, you've all of a sudden got course minutes. Now, it's easier to furnish course minutes than it is auditor minutes. But once more, if an area does not have very many auditors, it's got to furnish course instructor minutes and student course hours, because it can furnish those up to a point where it gets some auditors in order to function. So what do we look at here? That is the spending of these coins. But who puts the coins there? The HAS puts the coins there. And if he doesn't have enough coins there, and if he doesn't have any reserve pools by which he can get more coins to spend fast, he's always in a mess. Therefore, the post is almost unhandleable, almost untenable, because he's the guy who puts the coins there to spend. A good HAS rub his hands together and say, I'm going to put 500 auditor hours per week as coins into the HGC, and we're going to fix up the lines, we're going to fix up the tech services and so forth, and we've got a CS and trade, we've got this, that, and the other thing, and the plan form of the organization, so, and this, he tells the production officer, and this will all be ready, and my schedule on the thing is something on the order of about 60 days. I will be able to have this. Will you, at the end of that period of time, will you have those things consumed, please? Vroom! Now, there is another method of looking at an organization, isn't it? So the burden of the HAS is very, very heavy indeed, because he's got to furnish the coins which can be spent. Then he's got to have reserve coins that he can spend. And the real coins of the organization are not the dollars. An organization that doesn't make dollars is going to be up the spout, around the bend. Now, as far as the lines of an organization is concerned, and an HCO which is interbulated and so on, there's this kind of thing. Do you think a PC would be interbulated if you started a process on him and you never finished it? Do you think PC would be interbulated? Now we get into the real field of third dynamic auditing. Administrator handling the group. He has what is called administrator TRs that cut through the noise, the chatter, and the aberration and get the action done that he has specified to be done. And it works on the basis of every time stable datum and a confusion problems of work. And you should know that little check sheet backwards and forwards. Because the hatted person can stand up to the confusion and the unhatted person can't. So how do you back off the confusion out of the organization is you well and efficiently and accurately hat the people. So the HAS who wants to get an organization whose own HCO is and interbulated and so forth would have to have pretty good administrator TRs. They're being written at this particular moment, and all the FEBC is going to be run on, and they wish to God I'd never invented them, probably. I think you have to wear padded shoulders and knee pads to get through these TRs. It's the inability to confront a confusion that wrecks the administrator. So he squirrels. What would you think of a DFP when the auditor comes down and he says, you know, this PC is running very badly. What do I do? And the DFP says, well, do this so-and-so. And the auditor goes off and he comes back and he says, I did that. Now, we actually had to have a pattern action for that. The pattern action originally was, what did you do? And you find out the guy did something entirely different. What was out? It was TR0 TR0 in that auditor. By the introduction, TR0, that was the end of that. We didn't have that problem in organizations. I mean, in auditing anymore. All right, well, you're seeing the entrance rayer of the same thing. Only it's on the third dynamic. What confusion can you confront? And into what confusion can you hat? And that is the test of an administrator and would be the test of an HAS par excellence. What confusion can he confront? Because if he can't confront it, he'll just blow off of it and squirrel. Oh, I see. We really can't have anybody on that post and the line can't go that way because, oh, I don't anyhow. Ooh. God, I got out of there. His administrative TR0s for the birds. So he walks in on this post, and this post is on, and they say, and we can't handle this, we got the backlog because it's on, because all the piles are going to see, it's on the boxes, you see, and it got it, we can't have any, there's no file, you see. And he says, gee, oh well, it's a mess, I guess. And he walks off back to his desk. You would be surprised what a Commodore's messenger goes through. Flag always has about two or three stratas of Sea Org in progress simultaneously. And it has the new recruit strata, and it has the student strata, and it has the old-timer strata. Well, you get sensible actions and so forth, but with this admixture of personnel around, you get a certain amount of confusion, because there will be a recruit on a post where you expected a veteran every once in a while. Well, you can always tell this because you usually get an explanation. And the Commodore's messenger has become, actually, they look like little kids and they're fine and so on. Actually, they can probably do better administrative TR0 than anybody in the game. I just sent one on a mission, by the way. I knew they'd have to do some confronting. So I sent somebody up there that could confront. See? Simple. Messenger walks up and he says, would you please turn on the heat on 8A? That's the message. But that's, of course, a carried intention, don't you see? And get, well, they run into somebody who's just taken over as an INR and their new recruit because the ones we got have already been set up to take care of some other ship or something. And you can't turn this valve because of the valve, it doesn't, and you know, the jiggy draws it and so on, and got it? Commodore's messenger says, turn on the heat on ADEC. Sometimes, if they can't get it through at all, they come back and they say this. He's explaining. I say, who is it? Ah, so. so on. So just run it up another echelon, because I know I've run into a recruit who is standing a watch point. You'd be surprised. These characters have got the whole ship taped. They know exactly the degree of hattedness of everybody on the ship. The hattedness is usually excellent. But they know where it isn't. Why? Because the administrative TR is in. So you go through your organization, you find out there's confusion, all chairs are lined up, there's nobody sitting in the chairs, but the people are outside, and they should be inside sitting in the chairs, and there's somebody behind the desk, and he's got a whole pile of invoices, and he seems to be counting something. You say, what are you doing? Well, I got to design, and there's an emergency action here, and we've got to get in the financial planning and the amount of that which is coming through, and so on. How about what's your post? Oh, I'm reception, I. And so I don't got to. Wait a minute. How about these? Well, look, I've got this all. It's very easy to understand because we don't get the standing back to the card. So. Hey, how about all these people? What people? All these people are outside. They should be at least in here in the waiting room. So on. I got to get the. Look, you're just looking at a bank expressed on the third dynamic. Some lines are out here. And it isn't up to you to invent a new solution. It is up to you to get done on that post what is supposed to get done on that post, just like it is up to an auditor to get that command done. And if you've got that down, that's all really you need to know about getting an organization in. The HAS would have to have this in par excellence. He would have to have this in gorgeously. He would have to be able to confront any God's quantity of confusion, and he'd have to know his organizational technology enough to know exactly what hat to put on, how fast, at which instant. He knows what's supposed to be happening in this particular zone and area, and he puts that hat on. And the person says, well, I can't wear the hat, and I'll put the hat on. And the dollars are coming down and along, and then the 18 in different sizes. And so what? Hat. What are you supposed to be doing on the post? What are you supposed to be here? What are you supposed to be here? Oh, well, yeah. Oh, you mean I got something to do with these dispatches? Oh. You get the reverse. Total dedication to a dispatch line. All hell breaking loose outside the office with somebody comfortably handling his stale dates as slowly as possible. So the basic requisite of an HAS, and certainly even much more so of an executive director, production officer, and org officer, would be his TR0 and his knowledge of what was supposed to be happening there at that time, his knowledge of confusion in the stable datum, and he knows if he gets the stable datum in, which is the hat, the confusion will go off. He doesn't stand around and argue about this, that, and the other thing. He just gets the hat on that belongs there at that time, gets the line connected up that should be there, yes, and then he goes back a half an hour later to make sure it's still there. Now, one of the things that happens to a Sea Org mission occasionally is that it goes into an org. The org does what it says while it's there. The Sea Org mission walks out, and the org does exactly what it pleases at once. In other words, the ethics presence was not extensional. That has happened more often than once. Now, that would mean, actually, that the place couldn't confront its own confusion. So that at degree, you have to teach an organization to confront its own confusion. You're about to see bull-baited administrative TRs. Such a TR is trying to get a piece of paper put from one table onto another table, with three people around the first piece of paper and three people around the second table, with the three people at the second table completely unwilling to receive any piece of paper, and the people at the first table completely unwilling to part with the piece of paper. Bull-baited putting somebody's hat on, meaning by that just a cardboard hat. All reasons why he can't wear this hat, why he doesn't want this hat, and he can do with this hat. That's actually what it takes. But an HCO brings order, and that is the drill that brings order, because what are you dealing with? You're dealing with hats, lines, you're dealing with space, you're dealing with certain products in terms of motions which produce. Production actions, dealing with organization actions, filing actions, and so forth. One has to know what those actions are. One doesn't have to have it down perfectly. One doesn't have to be super pluperfect. And when one doesn't know what a unit is supposed to be doing and the unit is getting along all right, one should have enough sense to back out quietly and close the door. But a unit that isn't running all right and the stats are down and so forth, one shouldn't go in, hear the explanation, and then back out and close the door. That is the one thing that is wrong to do. So, anyway, the HAS then has the job of putting an establishment there. Well, establishment is an orderly arrangement. It is an orderly arrangement. So, therefore, everybody in HCO should be capable of bringing about an orderly arrangement. If HCO cannot bring about an orderly arrangement, it will bring disorder into the org. Now, all of this may not be expressed in old policy, but what do you know? It doesn't violate old policy, the old policies which were written yesterday. These very interesting policies that are several days old, that should be issued again. Truth of the matter is that unless you have a center or a focus point in an organization, which is a stable point, which is then bringing order to the remainder of the organization. You will only have an interbulated organization. You won't have your production coins to spend. So, one of your jobs is getting something to spend in terms of the real wealth of the organization. And the real wealth of the organization, of course, is basically knowledge, and then the time and actions of bringing about what that knowledge can do. And that is the real wealth of the organization. And when you keep your eye on the main chance, that is the wealth of that organization. What do you think will happen to an office in San Francisco, as we had many, many years ago, calling themselves the psychology consultants? They went broke. But it was a horrible disorder, because the information that they were exporting wasn't even being used where they were. They were very individuated out from things. So what do you basically have in an HIS? You have just what its motto says, bring order. But what is bringing order? Putting in stable data and stringing the lines in spite of the confusion. Many an HCO, if it is doing its job well, would feel like a telephone lineman in the middle of a battle. But a telephone lineman can string a line in the middle of the battle. The point is, does he string the line, or does he suddenly Q&A with the battle? So you would get your administrative Q&A, you walk into the thing, and the registrar is supposed to be registering somebody, but isn't actually, is engaged at this particular time in arguing with, of all people, arguing with the Mimeo files clerk, and is arguing about who would have what lunch hour, or some other unlikely subject. All right, what is the action there? The Q&A is to settle who has the lunch hour and walk out. You're asking the PC, from where could you communicate to an elephant? And we walked down to a very funny examiner report I saw here the other day, just an interjection. Somebody walked by and they'd been doing a long list, and all hell had broken loose, and their case had fallen apart. When they hit the term elephant, they walked up and said to the examiner, "I'm an elephant release." They were doing fine. Now, supposing this auditor had come along and the person said, "I don't particularly care to run that item," and, "Why don't you particularly care to run the item?" "Well, actually, I haven't received a letter from my mother lately." "Well, what about your mother?" You've seen this happen. All right, let's look at this administratively. Let's look at an HAS who does this sort of thing. We've got to get in the registration line here, and so I'm going down and get him the registration line. Very good. Now, what is the trouble with this registration line? He's already opened himself wide open. And somebody says to him, "We really don't have any carpets." And he says, "Well, what about these carpets?" And, "Well, it wouldn't get through financial planning because Bessie Ann wouldn't agree to them." And the HCO sec goes off to see Bessie Ann. Now, if you just multiply this about 500 times over during a day, an HAS sees that his life is utterly unlivable. HCO will eventually be ducks and drakes. The whole organization will be walking through HCO. It'll look like Grand Central Station. If I were an HAS, and somebody came in to see me in the middle of a traffic period and so forth and wanted to know when they were going to get an answer to their brother's petition to have free rehabs, I'm afraid I would not answer with a Q&A. The PR factor would have to be preserved, but my action would be, "What is your post? What are you supposed to do, and what is the traffic on it right now?" And that would be the answer to the brother's petition about his free rehabs. And then somebody would say, "HCO doesn't give service. Doesn't give me answers that I should be getting from the registrar or from the letter registrar." Do you follow? Now, HCO, a personnel, would have to know routing, and so does every person in the organization has to know routing. And do you know is routing best? The executive director of the organization has to know more about routing in the organization than any other person in the organization, because about 90% of an executive's function is routing. Not only routing, but establishing the route to be routed on. A tremendous quantity of stuff early on any post will come through, and all it requires is routing. Almost everything in your pending basket is misrouted and doesn't belong to you. And just on that basis, if this isn't mine, you can take a pending basket and root it. And not cruelly or crudely, you look it over and you find out that it's all misrooted. So you didn't know what the hell to do with it, because, of course, it wasn't yours. And all it tells you is that rooting is out, and there must be some other people around who don't know rooting, so your action would be to get everybody checked out on a basic staff ad. And Chinese school on the org board, and a few more elementary things of this character. So we do have the processes necessary to resolve the confusion. They do exist. Who runs these processes? The HAS. He's the auditor of the org. Only there's a thing called a sane establishment, and he mustn't go in the same direction that an auditor goes. An auditor reduces the bank to nothing. Let's not have an administrator reduce the org to nothing. He's not trying to run the org out. He's trying to put it there. Therefore, I'd say an HAS who can't do creative processing won't be very successful. And his TR, if his TR zero is bad so that he Qs and As in any way whatsoever, he won't be very successful. So these are the various requirements of it. But if he can mop things up, and if he can hold a position in space, and if he can fix things, and if he does know confusion and stable datum, if he's determined to bring order regardless of what, if he's determined to make the lines go on out and straighten out, if he's determined to put the organization there and bring order in it, if he can confront a confusion without Q&A, if he can hat somebody, why, he's quite a guy. He's quite a treasure, actually. HCO personnel are so rare because these abilities are rare. Because he's basically an auditor to the organization. He audits out all the confusions in the organization, and that's how he brings order. Now, what are his duties? To put the establishment there. How much establishment? How much establishment can he afford to put there? How does he figure out this establishment? Well, he figures out the establishment in terms of production that will result in the greatest return to the organization so he can put some more establishment there. And why does he put some more establishment there? So he can put some more establishment there. Why does he put more establishment there? So he can put some more establishment there, of course. And what happens while he's doing it? He's got all kinds of people that don't know what he's trying to do and doesn't know why he's trying to put the establishment there. So they say, I've got a letter from my mother, and she has just said bongledong, and therefore I must goggle. And he says at that moment, that's very good. There's the mail clerk. I'll see if he has any letters for you. There is the mail clerk. Yes, but my mother, good. There is the mail clerk. See if you have any letters there. Yes, but I'm in grief about the sort. See the chaplain. Messenger, take this person to see the chaplain. And come back and tell me if the chaplain was on post. In HCO, they think their messengers should carry the mail around. That's because nobody is using it as a central hub from which order is brought. You can't bring very much order over a very long period of time unless you've got some messengers. I can assure you that. So, this is where the thing goes. I suppose next I will be talking about the HCO Department 1 in sections, Department 2 in sections, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and eventually chase it all the way on off the other end of the org board. But that would be sort of greedy. I would be taking all of your goodies away from you. It is you, I expect, to chase it all the way down off the other end of the org board. All the confusion you have had in the past, with order following all the way along the line, viability rising, and the planet in our laps. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Good night now.